Shortly before he said he's running for president, Senator Marco Rubio held a breakfast. He met yesterday with financial supporters. The senator wore shirt sleeves. It was in Miami. The donors posed for pictures with him in front of a bank of hotel windows, their figures backlit by the morning sun. Afterward, Rubio sat down with us. I'd never questioned a candidate at just that moment before he declared he was all in.
And I was thinking that if it were me, there might be a moment the night before where I was lying awake wondering if I was really ready for this. Did you have a moment of wondering if you're really ready for this?
Not last night, but if you've reached the point where you're wondering it the night before you announce, then you probably shouldn't run.
Rubio is confident. You see that because he's running at all. He's 43, a former Speaker of the Florida House and first-term U.S. Senator. He's thinking of how much he has to learn.
Clearly, if you see the history of the presidency, people that go into that office grow. The office helps you grow as well as you go through it, and that's having the ability to learn is a big part of the office as well. But I'm certainly capable from day one. I'm very confident that I have the capability from day number one to lead this country.
And he's casting off his day job. Rubio says he will not run for re-election to his Senate seat. He will focus on competing in a crowded presidential field.
We're at a moment where you have put out plans proposing to reshape the way the federal government deals with federal assistance to the poor.
Yes.
We're at a moment where Jeb Bush, who may also run, has a super PAC called Right to Rise. And this week, of course, Hillary Clinton declared her campaign for the presidency talking about helping everyday people. What's going on there?
Well, that's a good thing for our country because equality of opportunity has always defined us as a people and as a nation. And the fact that there are millions of people now in America that are starting to have significant doubts about whether we're still that kind of country should be deeply concerning to us. Our identity is at stake.
What's one way that your approach would be different from Jeb Bush's or Hillary Clinton's?
The truth is that at this moment, most of my opponents in the field, beyond talking about upward mobility, have not clearly outlined what they would do. We have a clear policy outline on each of these issues that people can read about. And if, you know, all of my opponents and other candidates in the Republican field choose to adopt some of those ideas, I'll consider that a victory and as well as flattery. But on the Democratic side, I think, you know, Hillary Clinton is someone who's deeply wedded to the institutions of the 20th century.
Rubio is seeking conservative approaches to a problem far more often discussed on the left. It's the struggle of people at the bottom of an increasingly unequal society. Should he rise in the polls, his tax and education plans will draw attention and scrutiny. His foreign policy views get attention now. He favors a massive U-turn, undoing President Obama's outreach to hostile nations. He underlined that with the location where he declared his candidacy last night. He spoke at Miami's Freedom Tower. Cubans once received aid there after fleeing Fidel Castro's government.
This brings to mind that you have strongly criticized President Obama's restoration of relations with Cuba. If you're elected, would you reverse that policy?
Absolutely. And I think the reason why is because my interest in Cuba is freedom and democracy. I think the Cuban people, if they are free, have the right to choose any economic model they want to follow. I don't believe these changes will actually further democracy. In fact, I think they will make it harder to achieve. The goal of the Castro regime is to create the impression and the reality that their form of government is a legitimate form of government and set it in concrete. They know they have a generational challenge. Most of their top leaders are in their 80s. The actuarial tables tell you they don't have much longer, and they want to leave in place global recognition for this form of government so that it can continue in perpetuity. And I think U.S. policy towards Cuba is a major leverage point that we can use to help the Cuban people achieve freedom for themselves.
But help me think through this. The president made this announcement. They're working on getting an embassy going at some point in the future. He went to a summit of the Americas where other countries in Latin America very much welcomed the restoration of relations. You're saying that if you're elected, you would close that embassy, you would break diplomatic ties, you would go back to
We have an intersection in Cuba, and it'll continue to operate, but an embassy, I don't believe this country should be diplomatically recognizing a nation of the nature of Cuba. And I just think that we should have continued with the policy and perhaps looked for new ways of continue with the policy of not recognizing that regime, not allowing them access to economic growth that would allow them to perpetuate themselves in power, and continue to search for ways to provide the Cuban people with more information about the reality of the world so they would be empowered to eventually create for themselves a democratic society.
You've also said that you would reverse the president's deal with Iran, assuming that that is finalized. You've said you would absolutely do that. What would that look like on day one?
Well,
I
would not adhere. Well, we have to understand the deal basically can be what it is on paper. What the president is banking on is that he's going to use a national security waiver to lift the sanctions on Iran, economic sanctions that now exist. And we would simply reimpose the sanctions.
Rubio says the president is making a deal without Congress so the next president can shift course. Iran and some experts have argued that a future president would have obligations to keep a deal, but Rubio dislikes the terms.
Iran is trying to maintain all the infrastructure they need to be nuclear capable without agreeing to any irreversible concessions. And that seems to be what they've achieved, if in fact this moves forward.
But I'm just thinking this through. The deal is made. It's made not just with the United States, but with the European allies. Would you move forward with reimposing sanctions, even if the Europeans don't go
yes,
along with you?
Yes, it wouldn't be as effective, obviously. When we would ultimately, I think the Europeans are going to have a test anyway, because the Iranians are going to violate the sanctions at some point. They're going to evade it either by trying to take advantage of loopholes in the deal, or they'll just flat out evade it because they've always had a secret component to their program.
I'm just thinking through further, though. As part of this deal, assuming it's finalized, the Iranians get rid of a vast amount of enriched uranium, almost all they have. They limit the amount of enrichment that they will have. They limit the number of centrifuges they will operate, and they will allow inspections for decades, actually. So you would say all that, forget about it, it's done. The Iranians
they would retain
can do what
all
they want
the infrastructure. First of all, they would retain...
They retain
not just infrastructure, they retain centrifuges too. They may not be spinning them, but they will retain them in their possession. They continue to develop their long-range missile capabilities, which are unstopped. Their infrastructure will remain in place, and at some point they could follow the North Korean model very easily, which is they can cook up an excuse for why they need to have a weapon program and move forward on it.
Is war inevitable then?
I hope not. My hope is that we could delay a program long enough, and you would hope that there would be some sort of change in leadership in Iran that would at least allow them to decide that they would rather have an economy than have a weapon.
That's part of our talk with newly announced Republican presidential candidate Marco Rubio. Elsewhere in today's program, we hear why he says he's done more on immigration than Hillary Clinton.